The first thing I'd like to do is ask Nick, because Nick spoke this morning. Sorry, Nick, I'll put him on you now. And it's really just some reflective comments before we get started, because I know you, it was quite nice for you to have your session this morning and then absorb everything from that. So it'd be only fair to hear from you in terms of comments on today. Where do you think the opportunities are? And
I've been struck by how many people are really up for it here, so I presume it's why you're at the conference, but often actually do go to conferences where people don't seem to be up for it at all, but they seem to be sitting there anyway. Really struck by how many people seem to be up for it. A lot of people were excited talking to me about things. When we did the session at 1 o'clock, a lot of people have already experienced a lot of collaboration and going for it, like you said, it's happening here. I guess the one thing I would really urge you to do, and maybe it's, I don't know whether it's a geographical thing or not, but I would certainly say reach for the stars, and there's nothing stopping an ambitious small enterprise. It doesn't matter where they are these days. I'm now working with a small company in Kenya on something. I mean, really, it doesn't matter where you are, where you've been to school, college, whatever, if you've got the balls, I think I'm going to say, then you can go for it. And the example of the 3D mining stuff is blew my mind, really. And if that's not enough to sort of say, take on a target and decide to create a new industry, we design an industry that you know is tired and bored, go for it, definitely.
I think the other thing that's come home to me during the day is the difference I've seen since the last conference in the attitude of people towards selling. I've had lots of conversations out in the room, and everybody wants to sell their product. And this is so un-British. I love it. I mean, it's just so good that we're all saying, oh, and by the way, I've done this, I've got this now, would you be interested, do you know anybody, etc. But there was a wonderful thing with Sean, the Cornwall Channel, and he was speaking, saying, we're taking our Cornwall Channel to Libya. Now, whether this is a good idea, everybody's pretty. And who was it? Was it Alan or somebody? Was saying, yeah, but my brother is involved in Libya, etc. The point is, this comes out of really being passionate about your product, but actually getting out there and selling it, seeing if you can find a customer for it. And that is a terrific cultural change. And if that's going to happen in the rest of the UK as well, then thank God for that, because previously it was a sort of, selling, That's what non-professional people do. Us, professional people, we don't get involved with that nasty commerce stuff. So if that's a big change as well, then, we can collaborate to sell and we can sell off our own bat. I think, we really have a lot to be positive for that. Yeah, it's a small thing, but I think it's actually the start of a big thing. So don't be afraid about asking for the order. And I think that comes out of networking, it comes out of collaboration, etc. So well done, everybody, for actually going and getting some money.
Well, I've just hogged the mic for half an hour, so I'm not going to hog any further. One of the breakout sessions was all about the movie business as the perfect business model. So people come together for 6 months, 9 months, whatever it is. They're all freelancers, basically the actors, the directors, the producers, the script writers. They come together for a period of time, they produce a work of art, and then they go their separate ways. There are pros and cons, of course, to that kind of way of working. But I think that's interesting. These days we're all freelancers, whether we like it or not. The era of job security and companies that look after you for life and all that kind of stuff is long gone. So I think that was interesting food for thought. And I think cracking the business model around this stuff is challenging, something we think about all the time. But anyway, so that was useful food for thought. And I've just been really inspired by a lot of the case studies as well. So thank you, Tim. I'd love to come back for the third year.
Okay, I've heard that the fellow really mentioned there are 100 children pressing their faces against the cinema waiting for Happy Feet 2. Questions then, guys? Come on. John Lamborn, if we could have a very quick one. It's very inspiring and invigorating to hear this and this environment. But this environment and this inspiration doesn't get into the media, and the media don't get it out. They need to think about collaborating with this sort of thing a bit more, and that bridge needs to be crossed.
Thank you, John. Well, we do have to leave from
agreed.
Cornwall Desk Media. And also, obviously, Matthew Clark from Kono Pods and a whole number of our PR support from 8Wire too. So we'll take that message. Thank you very much, John. Whoa. Now, by the way,
Can I just give a round of applause, please, to Will? I'll explain why in a moment. Can you just give a round of applause? Yeah. Okay. By the way, if anybody else just wants a random round of applause, there's no reason. Well, thank you very much for your tweets today, by the way. I mean, there's been some prolific tweeting in the room, but Will in particular, I think you quite like the entrance, and you wondered whether I'd come in on a zip wire. And all I can say is I'm not Russell Brown. Over to you.
It's about the IP fight in America with the SOPA. Mm-hmm. How's that going to... That's going to really hurt collaboration, especially with small businesses, if we get something like that over here as well.
Just very quickly, do people know about SOPA? It's been a massive campaign. So Wikipedia shut down its website yesterday for 24 hours to campaign against a sort of draconian bill being brought through in the US and to... a sort of land grab of internet policy. What I find really heartening, and I'm a sort of hopeless optimist for which I sometimes feel the need to apologise, but what I find really inspiring is just the fact that Wikipedia and a whole bunch of other kind of big sites and a whole bunch of kind of small players kind of rallied round to fight this bill in a way that, you know, a few years ago I think these things would have, you know, been brought through as legislation without such a fight back. And I think, you know, Nick talked about stuff happening in the Middle East and the Arab Spring as well. You know, this kind of stuff, this coordinating ability, I don't think it was there previously. So yes, I agree with you. It's a great threat. It's scary, but I think I'm heartened by the fact that we can self-organise and campaign and have a voice and make stuff happen.
I mean, I think my view of it is exactly the opposite. That if people have to resort to doing this, it's proof positive that they don't get it. This is the last dying gasp of the way it was done. And yes, it may seem to impact us, it may seem to be dangerous and awkward and require all sorts of workarounds, but it's an admission that they're the wrong people to be in charge of this stuff. They're the people who don't get it. So in my opinion, we may have a bit of suffering. We may find workarounds. We will always find workarounds because that's what we're about. That's what created this stuff in the first place. So actually, I think this is an admission. This is this extraordinary ability to try and stop stuff happening, to try and censor, to try and rewrite the future. And it can't happen. Yeah, we should be vigilant, we should protest, we should make sure it never ever happens here or indeed in Europe. But it's wrong and it will be proven wrong.
Build on what you both said. I think I just tied into the media conversation because I heard on the BBC the number one proponent yesterday on Twitter was Rupert Murdoch, saying, of course, this is a fabulous bill. And it is the old dogs, the old lions of industry, the people who control the gates to the kingdom of billions, I guess. At trying to prevent things from being open. As you said, the net is infinitely hackable. It was born out of that kind of culture. It will always be that kind of culture. There will always be people who are smarter, more passionate and faster than people who are paid to stop things, trying to create things and open things up. So I think, yes, we're probably in for exactly the last gasp of the old power players trying to grab the last, you know, remnants of the cords around our neck, but I think
triumph,
prevail. Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Fist in the ear.
Matthew Clark, who I know some of you have spoken to from CodePod today, supported us. Final question for you, Matthew.
I just want to pick up on that last thing about the media. As someone in the media, with the old style of media, as you're saying, there's this great big battle going on, this final battle. It sounds like a film name. Final battleground. But it's because they've got their old style audiences, readerships, listenerships, viewers, and as they are whittling away to the new version of life, mm-hmm. They are fighting over a diminishing audience. And how would you suggest they deal with this transition? Because it is change that they're not coping with.
Well, the old model is based upon some fairly passive reception of content, and the editors and the publishers and the producers choosing what content people are going to be given, essentially. And there's still a lot of power in that. So I do TV work. There are probably 30 people in the UK who control pretty much every single thing you'll see on television at the moment. And what they think is flavour of the month, or what they've got a personal interest in, is what you'll see. But now with what Netflix is doing in the US in terms of it's bringing back an old sitcom and putting it onto just onto Netflix, Love Films looking at doing stuff with Amazon, there are people who are starting to realise that you don't need the television to create television, and you will see an uplift. The downside is quality journalism, as I'm sure you are a big proponent of, does cost money. It's difficult to create quality content. Current TV, which was Al Gore's big thing, one of his big things, big business idea, kind of failed because it was relying on user-generated content, which actually is very hard to make good in terms of broadcast good. It's fine for a three-minute YouTube, isn't that a laugh stuff? So I think there's a work to be done in what is the end model of quality versus access, co-creation versus authorship. And I guess there's a balance in there somewhere.
I think old media had one... Old media, push media, their big pitch was, you can trust us. We can't anymore. So the one thing that they could always use against the bloggers and the small guys and the non-professional, they weren't at all, but that was the thing that you can trust big media. You can't trust big media anymore. So actually they've really lost it on that basis. We are all equal. We are all able not just to push, but actually to pull as well. And that's the secret. The secret is it's a conversation.
Did anybody watch Sherlock Holmes? Yes. Did you have the Twitter stream going at the same time? It's hugely entertaining. I think at its best, old media and new media are even better together. But I think the new... I remember Amazon coming on stream and just destroying book publishing. I remember being a music producer when Napster came on board and sort of destroying that industry. I think the new big players in that space are almost certainly not the same as the old big players, but it's going to be messy. And I think we need to nail the business model, which I don't think has been nailed. I think more thought needs to go into that, but more experimentation needs to go into that as well.